The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
On today's show, we're talking about Crab Park. It stands for Creating a Real Accessible Beach for Vancouver and stands as one of the most significant green spaces within the downtown Eastside neighborhood. And this summer, it was the site of a standoff between police and hundreds of supporters of a homeless tent city that was forced to relocate there after being displaced by the city from Oppenheimer Park in the heart of the downtown Eastside. On June 16th, the police swept in with a Supreme Court of BC injunction, ordering them out at the request of the Port of Vancouver, which is a federal agency. Don Larson was one of the creators of Crab Park, campaigning since the early 1980s to create a beachfront accessible ecosystem and green space in the neighborhood. And he attended the day of the arrests. He is with the Crab Water for Life Society, and he also hosts a show here on Vancouver Co-op Radio. You can find his show every Monday at 4 p.m. here on 100.5 FM. Don, thank you so much for coming across to The Pulse on CFRO here from your own show, Main and Hastings.
Yeah, thank you, David. I'm happy to be on the show.
Always great to have a fellow co-op radio person kind of fill us in, too, so thank you.
I was just thinking, I've been there since 1984. It's like I don't know when to go away.
Before we just launch into stuff about Crab Park, which is your big passion project, how is Main and Hastings going? How is it doing radio during a pandemic?
It's difficult. It's kind of strange, actually, because it's not, for me, well, it's not live anymore. It's like you have to record your show and then send it in to Kimmett at Co-op Radio, and I don't understand all the technology, but Mark does that for a Main and Hastings show. So it's hard to have the alive feeling when you're doing something because you know it's being recorded. It's not like, it's not live.
Exactly. We do it pre-recorded here at our show as well. And so thank God for a team of editors that kind of put the music with the audio and the interview together.
Exactly.
We've got Carrie and Jim and Laurence all pulling a lot of effort. So thank God for all the technical people who know what they're doing.
I know Laurence. She's been helping me with a little bit of the computer work at Co-op.
Well, let's jump into the topic today, Crab Park. Tell me a bit, first of all, just go back, how long have you been involved with the campaign to create Crab Park in the first place?
Very long. Back in June 1984, the idea came out, and a small group of us were down there. There was no park. There was not even any landfill. It was underwater, and there was just a little, it wasn't even a little beach edge. It was just a place you could sit down on an asphalt wall, and the Timac boat launch people, was much smaller then, but the Timac boat launch people were there. So, yeah, there was nothing there, and the entrance was at Columbia Street, walk across the railway tracks, and that seemed to work, but now they put in an entrance back in the day again at Main Street, and they never built the overpass properly, so it's too steep. So people with disability can't get to the park, generally speaking. The worst is yet to come. The Centerm westward expansion of the Centerm container dock is going right beside the park. It's 7 acres in size, which is the same size as the park and almost the same shape. So, I mean, the Port of Vancouver tried to sell us that, oh, no, it won't block views, very little, and won't disturb the water quality, very little, and, you know, the air quality. You know, the further they build, the less that doesn't seem true. The port never did any independent environmental assessments, and that's a red flag. And they did get the Provincial Environmental Assessment Office to come over, but I met them, and in my opinion, they didn't take anything seriously. The port has put a real spin on everything, very hard to deal with them, and they treated the 84 arrestees or camper supporters of the homeless down at Crab Park parking lot foot of Carroll Street, and they treated them pretty bad in the BC Supreme Court, and they seem to be going, the judge anyway, and I guess the port seemed to be going for, they want some kind of criminal charges against these people.
They're going for criminal contempt, which is quite a serious charge. It's not a criminal record, but it's definitely more than just a disobeying a judge kind of charge.
Yeah, well, this judge is pretty, he's not sympathetic. His name is Christopher Hixon, and he's well respected in the Supreme Court of BC as a judge, but you know, I've sat in there a numbers of times, and I'm not impressed. And that's my reading of going to numbers of these court cases.
Well, what makes you say that in terms of what you're observing in court? Because it's obviously a serious thing to accuse a judge of.
Oh, well, just everything. His whole demeanor, his whole, I forget the word he used, but about a dozen young people, and they are young, and they're fairly articulate. And I don't think he was ready for that. So these people that are, they were speaking to him, they had their say, and some of them read their statements and others just spoke them, but they were not deferring to the judge. And I think this guy, the judge, really likes people to defer to him. Like, he's the judge, you are not. You are just in front of him, period. And the people that spoke, that was not their demeanor. They just, you know, we're just as important as you are, and we don't think we're, this is a colonial court. People were saying from the campaign protesters, this court is a colonial court. So those are their words, not mine. But I would use them too, actually.
So tell me about the 48. We've been following fairly closely, but for listeners who don't remember, this is after Oppenheimer Park was cleared during a pandemic. It's important to remind everyone, during a pandemic, they kicked out Oppenheimer Park campers who'd been there for years, and they relocated to Crab Park parking lot. So it's not part of Crab Park, technically. It's a part of the Portlands right next to it, a derelict parking lot. I only ever see it occasionally used for film crews, but that's quite rare.
Well, that's the point. And I wasn't part of the Oppenheimer Park experience. I thought there was problems there than there was. And I had no knowledge they were going down to the parking lot beside Crab Park. I turn on my TV and Global TV, and I see, that looks like Crab Park in the parking lot. What's going on? So I waited a couple of days to see if anybody would phone me saying, hey, Don, guess what? Come on down to Crab Park parking lot. But nobody did, so I went down there myself, and first person I bumped into was Veronica, and I'll just use her first name because that's what she's doing these days.
And we've had her on our show before, too. She's quite well-spoken.
Yeah, she's become very well-spoken. In 1984, she was just, we're all much younger and been through less stuff, I guess, at that point. But in 1984, we were camping down there, Veronica, myself, and about 50 other people or 10.
So this isn't the first time there's been a tent city at Crab Park?
First time. Nobody talks about our campaign. It's like, it doesn't seem to be on the record, but yeah, we camped down almost on the very same spot as the people that were arrested at the Crab Park parking lot. I find it odd to say that. And so I went down there 11 times, 12 times. The last time was the day they were arresting everybody. And the cop wasn't going to let me onto the parking lot. I went under the yellow tape. I'm so naive. And I was like, I didn't realize it was the police put up the yellow tape. I thought it was just the campers and the encampment people. And so this cop stops. There was four cops, and he stops me. He says, where are you going? Like, he was hostile right away. And I was like, well, I'm going into the camping. He says, well, do you have any stuff there, any belongings? I says, no, I don't. I should have lied to him. But my mom always taught me, don't lie. So I didn't lie to him. I said, no, I don't. Well, I was like, and then luckily there was three campaign people sitting there near the cops. And they said, oh, no, this guy here, he's one of the sacred fire keepers, which I'm not. And I said, yeah, that's right. I just walked right in. So I spent about 5-6 hours there, and it was just this kind of a standoff. And a lot of, yeah, so I felt bad for the personally, I felt bad for people getting arrested. And I'd already talked to Veronica the day before, and I said, Veronica, if your question to me is, am I willing to be arrested? I'm not. I said, I don't want to lose my voice, which right now I have my voice. And, yeah, that was my concern. And I never did tent down there, so I feel like if you don't tent down there at least one night, you're not really speaking for the encampment. So I usually would tell people, I'm not speaking for the encampment. I'm speaking for Crab Water for Life Society. We are still recognized small group that we are as a group that got Crab Park down there, because it was that effort.
How did it feel then, going there that day under the police tape and seeing the police arrest 48 people and kind of that behavior? Like, to know, since this park is close to your heart and it was created for the Downtown Eastside people who, you know, are in this camp.
Well, I felt sorry for the young people because they weren't the campers. They weren't the people that had been camping there since first or second week in May. The first campers were, I think, May 8th or something. The first little small group of campers came down from Oppenheimer Park. And I guess Veronica was one of them, and Fiona York. And
she's Carnegie Community Action Project.
That's right. And Chrissy Brett, like, she's very articulate herself. And so Veronica and Chrissy, like, they basically stood up to the cops when people were trying to serve them summons. And, you know, guys had come out there fairly well-dressed and probably thinking they were dressed down, but they weren't, and handing out summons to Chrissy. Well, hey, she's not taking it. Like, first of all, you got to do the protocol, which is, put some sacred cedar boughs and some tobacco on the sacred fire and say a prayer. You don't have to say the prayer out loud. It's your prayer, any prayer you want. But they wouldn't do it. These people will not do anything like that, show any respect.
It must have been quite something to just see this happening during a pandemic in which nobody knows what the future holds and everyone's just really looking out for their health as best they can. And then this comes around.
Well, the bizarre thing, in my view, is the port made a deal about, you know, oh, we can't have these encampment people down there on the parking lot. And like you say, it's usually an empty parking lot, serving no purpose for anything. And the port's saying we can't have, because of COVID, we can't have that in the port. Meanwhile, the port, the same people, were saying publicly that they were putting pressure on Dr. Bonnie Henry and others that the port wanted the cruise ships to come in this summer. And it was, what, you know, you see on your TV almost every other day, there's a cruise ship that's got COVID people on it, and people are not letting it come into the port. They're out in the water waiting and waiting for someone to finally let them come in. So that, you know, Dr. Bonnie Henry wouldn't bend on that. But the port tried to make them bend.
And this, of course, is the federal government. This is not just a corporation running our port. It's a federal agency with a board appointed by the federal government.
And they don't. The port doesn't seem to be accountable to anybody, and I would include the federal government. And the federal government, I was sending them, you know, for 3.5 years, I was sending them my emails, and then my email person kind of got burned out, so... we were sending information to the Minister of Transport and Native Affairs and such, and Environment. We were sending them to those three. Very little, if any, basically no feedback from them at all. So all they seem to care about is money and big corporations. And DP, Dubai Port World, huge. And they're going to be bringing in container ships that are not environmentally friendly, shoreline powered. It's set up for two more berths for shoreline power. But many of the Dubai Port freighters are old, rusty, single-hulled. And, they will... still be putting out you know, toxic fumes into the air the whole time they're in the port.
Don, I wanted to ask you, you know, we've seen with the tent city as it's moved around and people have been evicted and displaced from Oppenheimer, then Crab, and now in Strathcona, that at times the neighbors of the tent city have, you know, raised complaints and concerns in the media, you know, saying get these people out of here. It seems like with the people supporting Crab Park, that is not the case, that people, in fact, are that you've been supporting the campers and helping kind of back up their demands.
Well, my main focus, I was trying to get the parking lot. We had gone down to the park board, Vancouver Park Board, the summer before, last summer, not the one we just got by, but a year ago.
2019, yes, that's right.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, the before COVID, and we'd gone down there to the park board, and we got them to support unanimously that the four-acre parking lot where the campers were camping on, or the encampment people, that's a four-acre parking lot. So it's already been called for by the park board, including the previous park board. Michael Weeb was the chairperson and the general manager. They sent a letter to the port saying, we want you to turn over the four-acre parking lot, which is basically unused, to the park for parkland, for more parkland. Because for one thing, the view to the north will be severely blocked, in my estimation, and the port doesn't feel that way or doesn't care. I don't know.
I've had picnics down there. It's a wonderful park.
Yeah, it is, and it's not going to be so wonderful in a year, 2 years. The port, in my estimation, is causing environmental and social damage to Crab Park at Portside, or Crab Beach, or Crab Park. So I'm not happy.
What does Crab Park mean to you?
Well, it means a lot. It's kind of a heart thing. It's in my heart. We worked from beginning to, we had nothing, and not many people, and it's always a struggle to get media to pay attention, especially mainstream media. And so I would always try to put it on my little Maine and Hastings radio show. But, I mean, that only goes so far. And, yeah, so it means everything to me. It's in my heart. It's kind of, it's kind of my, I don't know what the word is. It was my passion and dream. I can't, if that's corny, if that's what it was my passion and my dream. And it was really big in my heart.
I wanted to go back to last summer's motions at the park board. And in particular, one, your recommendation, and also from Councillor Jean Swanson, that's not just about continuing the park, but also expanding what it's for. And I know the park has become very, very sacred, kind of a healing place for, especially for relatives and loved ones of missing women. We would, during the Picton Inquiry, we would go down there after some of the weeks of these terrible hearings and lay flowers at the memorial stone down there. And I know that one of the proposals is a healing center and cultural center. Could you tell me about that?
Well, I'm not the expert on that. There are Native people that will talk to that issue. And there's different views of what this Native Healing Lodge would be. Some are more medically focused, dispensing needles and condoms and such. That's not really my view, but I realize, like, I'm a what people call a settler, and so I leave other people to kind of promote that. But yeah, I do support it. But I think unless you get the land, you don't have a healing lodge. So my focus is, like, I know it's tremendously difficult to get the 4-acre parking lot for park. I'm not under any illusion or delusion about that. So before I go on to healing lodges, and I mean, while we speak, the actual caretaker building has gone into total disrepair and has been condemned, legally condemned by themselves. The real estate people at the Vancouver City Hall, they've officially condemned the caretaker building, which I think is an iconic building, but it's not. It has to be torn down. It is literally falling down. The eaves and the roof have caved in, and this was all allowed to happen. by the park board, and they won't do anything about it.
Why do you think that is?
I don't think they care enough. I think that's what it is. And Crab Park somehow is on the central waterfront, but it seems to be neither east or west. It falls through the cracks, as they say. It doesn't seem to be on people's radar. And I've struggled with that all for a long, long time. And I try not to get too frustrated about it anymore, but it still frustrates me. But, yeah, I don't think they care enough. And they just say, well, we don't have any money for that. And I know they have money. They hide it away, and only a few people know where the money is. And they need to spend about $3 million, the park board. Instead, they're trying to grab, they're working on grabbing the $1 million that the Port of Vancouver seems to think is good enough for all the damage they're going to cause Crab Park permanently. I don't think it's good enough, and I've told them that. I told them it's peanuts. And they said, no, Don, it's not peanuts. This is the port. Duncan Wilson, and Vice President Port. He says, no, Don, it's not peanuts. Those are dollars. And they said, well, I knew they weren't peanuts. It's not enough. To replace that caretaker building is probably $3 million. They got to put washrooms in there. They could put some artists in there upstairs. Everything would have to be totally rebuilt, and the bathrooms, and some storage room for RACAM's summer program for the children. I don't see the park board sweating it. They're just trying to grab the $1 million to stick in some ugly industrial toilets and see you later kind of thing. I don't like it. Some of the people at the encampment were taking the issue seriously. Many others they're homeless. They're just there. Excuse me. They have no place to go. And so on June 16th, that was I call it a dark day in Vancouver history. June 16th, that's when the cops came in at the behest of the Vancouver Fraser Port Authority. And yeah, where were the city? Where was the mayor and council to tell the police, hey, like, you know, that's not really your role to be doing that.
Well, I appreciate all the work you've done, and also the beauty of this park in the midst of our neighborhood. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. Have a great day and stay safe.
Thank you.
And that was Don Larson, founder of the Crab Water for Life Society. And you can also find his Vancouver Cooperative Radio show every Monday at 4 p.m. here at 100.5 FM. Or at cooperadio.org. On tomorrow's show, we're going to be hearing more from Don's proposal and others to restore an ecosystem that's thriving on the shores in Crab Park and what that would look like in terms of bird, wildlife, habitat, and trees. And we'll hear from a project that's looking at doing just that in another city's industrial zone, hoping to restore a salmon estuary, and how those might be connected, according to scientists. Stay tuned for that tomorrow.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.